go through a lot and they need a lot to succeed. And I think we as a city council are determined to do all we can, and the children's levy is one manifestation of that. I'll also note another manifestation in the mayor's Cradle to Career initiative. I had a recent conversation with Dan Ryan of the Portland Schools Foundation, who is administering the Cradle to Career initiative. I mentioned the tremendous needs of children in foster care. And next time I saw Dan, he told me that they had gotten in contact with DHS and had now received the names of over 100 children to participate in the Future Connect program, which helps kids to make the transition from 7th to 8th grade.
8th to 9th grade.
8th to 9th grade. So just making things click like that can produce some very positive results. These kids will have access to employment and also further schooling and supports to help them succeed as they transition to 9th grade. So thank you all again, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Fritz.
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for your leadership on this and for bringing this report to us and to the citizens of Portland who are paying for the children's levy. It's really important for us to report back on how we're spending the taxpayers' money and what good work is being done. Thank you all for taking the time to come down today to City Hall to be on Cable Channel 30 and tell the citizens of Portland about the good work that you're doing. If you could please send me links to your programs and to that presentation so that I can put it on my website, because there are many more folks who need to know about this, both about the disparities and about how we're working to address them. All of this work is data-driven, and it's got good research and follow-up, and that's how this council tries to operate to make sure that we are spending money carefully. I was at a fundraiser last night for the Pathfinder School, which helps 16 to 20 teenage parents complete their education. And Dennis Murray, the executive director of Janus Youth, which is one of the partners in this work, said, so I think that I've got this right, I may have it wrong, but he said that children who are in foster care and drop out of school are more likely to die early or become homeless than they are to graduate from college. That is, and he gave the story of his daughter who has had so many challenges. She had so many challenges by the age of 1.5 and then is now doing well. This is really difficult work, and it's for all of the foster parents out there. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing. It's very, very important, and it is one child at a time. We look at our high school graduation rates, and if you look at those numbers for Multnomah County and the numbers for Oregon of how many kids are needing special help, hearing about the particular children and the intensive work, the amount of work that the foster parents, the educators, and everybody involved in that wraparound care for one child, helping her to stay in school and helping her to succeed. You multiply that by the thousands of children in the Portland area schools who need that extra care. It's no wonder we need some extra help with funding, and you're all doing an amazing job with not enough funding. We know that the state's budget woes are going to make things even worse, and so that is up to all of us to step up to provide the volunteer work that can help too, and helping kids in school. If you can't be a foster parent, you can maybe volunteer once a month to read to a kid once a month, something like that. That's what we're going to need to do to continue to get through this recession. So thank you very much for your good work. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for your leadership on the Children's Fund. And thank you, Mayor Adams, for the Cradle to Career and that data-driven approach that I believe is ultimately going to be successful. Aye.
Adams.
Well, you stole my thunder, but appropriately so. I knew that. I want you to know that Commissioner Saltzman advocates for this issue, not just here at the City Council or in City Hall, but wherever he goes. And when Dan talked to me about that opportunity, it's just a perfect fit. And it's so nice to be able to make a connection between Future Connect. The numbers show, by some estimates, that kids that participate the summer between 8th and 9th grade in Future Connect are 4 times more likely to stay in high school and actually graduate. So it's a great connection to be able to make, and thank you for what you do. The numbers at times seem totally overwhelming and daunting, but it is the work that you do, the partnerships with great programs like Commissioner Saltzman has helped lead and our partners at the county that will make progress. So very grateful. Thank you. Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title?
Mayor, I have a request, special request of the mayor.
Sure.
I have an unavoidable conflict at 11:15,
okay.
And I note that you have one emergency ordinance on, and I would ask that I've been
sure.
told that that will be very, very quick. Could we move 462 first and just do it?
Absolutely. Can you please read the title? We did consent.
We need the consent agenda.
Oh, we didn't have a vote. Can you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Fritz?
Aye. Sorry. Oh, I just want to note on the consent agenda that we have on it accepting a grant for $870,000 from the state for sidewalks and green streets on 122nd. We had previous discussion about how we couldn't use federal money for that. Well, we were able to get some money. We have. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 462?
Extend term of Comcast cable franchises.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. This item is the second Comcast franchise term extension to come before the council. The city and our partners in the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission have already acted last year to extend the current Comcast franchise until June 30th, 2011. We are still in current negotiations, and we believe that we need, as do the partners on the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission, believe we need another extension of 6 months to wrap up the current negotiations. I will be bringing before the council the necessary budget action for this in the spring bump next week to enable us, if needed, to begin the formal process with our partners at the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission. I would like to stress that what is at stake here are nearly $10 million per year in public benefits, including critical broadband connections in our schools and libraries, and the live coverage of public meetings, such as this one. So it's our hope that we will be able to reach agreement with Comcast in the course of this six-month extension, and if we cannot, to make our best case to retain these benefits by means of the formal renewal process provided by federal law. David Olson, the director of the Office of Cable Franchise and Management, is here if there's any questions. We have Sanford Inouye from Comcast, if he wishes to make any remarks. I'd ask the council's support.
Commissioner Saltzman, this seems like a pro forma matter that is just an extension to give you more time to do negotiations, correct?
Correct.
And we
Does anyone wish to testify on this matter?
Correct.
Carl, would you please call the vote?
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you, both Comcast and the Cable Office, for your continued negotiations. I hope that with this additional 6 months, an agreement can be reached so we don't have to resort to the formal renewal process under the applicable federal law. Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance, item number 458?
Create a local improvement district to construct street, sidewalk, and stormwater improvements from Party Street to Levy Street in the Lentz Phase 4 Southeast 118th Avenue Local Improvement District.
Mr. Abbey, welcome back.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and Council Members. Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator and Project Manager. We received no remonstrances against LID formation, and the recommendation is to pass the ordinance to a second reading and approve it next week.
Does anyone wish to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
I'd like to make a comment. That is just a thank you, Andrew, for your ongoing work on this. And to note that this is in the Powell Hills Gilbert neighborhood, and we're investing tax increment funding for basic services and sidewalks.
Thank you. Moves to second reading. Can you please read the title for 459?
Allow consumption of alcohol in the public right-of-way, provided a permit for a community event street closure, alcohol allowed, is issued under Chapter 17.44.
Use the restroom. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Ms. Jerry.
Good morning. My name is Jerry Jenkins, and I'm with the Bureau of Transportation. I'm here today to talk to you about the proposed code amendments to Title 14 and 17. These changes are specific to community event street closures and how it pertains to alcohol in the public right-of-way. The Bureau of Transportation issues approximately 200 community event street closure permits annually. That's in addition to the 400 block party permits that we issue. But of those 200 community event street closure permits, approximately 25% request to have alcohol as part of the event in the public right-of-way. For each of those, because Title 14 says that you cannot drink in the public right-of-way, so for each of those events that has requested alcohol as part of the event, we send an ordinance through council to waive that portion of Title 14 for the dates and times of that event. That's approximately 50 ordinances annually that come before council. And on consent agenda, in nearly 16 years, I've never seen one pulled from consent agenda in doing this. So what the ordinance does is add language to Title 14 that says, provided you have obtained a permit through the Bureau of Transportation for a community event street closure that allows alcohol, then for the dates and times of that particular permit, Title 14 is not applicable. It's very similar to what we do with sidewalk cafes currently. The premise license to serve alcohol is extended out into the public right-of-way for the purposes of the sidewalk cafe, and that language is in Title 14. So that's the first part of this ordinance, is just to say Title 14, to eliminate the need for us to come before council every time with an ordinance, but to do it administratively. Then the second part of the ordinance is that we looked at Title 17 that gives the Bureau of Transportation the authority to issue a street closure for a community event. And we added quite a bit of language to that. In particular, we made distinctions between what block parties are, what a community event street closure alcohol allowed is, and what a community event street closure alcohol prohibited is, so that we have those clear distinctions in code. And then we added language that identifies how the authority PBOT has to deny a permit. And essentially what that language is that through our application process and permit processing, we notify the other bureaus of the application. And if we hear back from another bureau that they have an objection to the issuance of the permit based on neighborhood livability issues or past experience, noise, litter, disorderly conduct, then transportation will deny that permit. And that's what's written in the new Title 17. It then also specifies for the applicant an appeal process by which they can then appeal and come before council. And so what we believe that this does is allows for an administrative process for the majority of the permits, but also gives us really a more preventative opportunity for certain types of community event permits that really do potentially need to come before council for a council vote. So with that, I was here in December with a more simplified version of this, and we've worked it and reworked it and met with various folks and believe that we're meeting the needs of the community and the neighborhood associations and the other bureaus and the applicants and PBOT with this language, and that ultimately it'll expedite the process but not make it too lenient.
I'm not sure I recall this correctly, but I believe at one of our prior hearings there were some questions raised by either the Bureau of Development Services or by Commissioner Leonard about this practically. Commissioner Leonard sadly is not with us this week, but can you tell me whether you have had a chance to follow up with him and address the issues that he placed on the record?
I did follow up with his office, Ty in particular, and his concern in December was that he was concerned that the city would not retain our authority to say you cannot have alcohol in the public right-of-way, because the original ordinance said if you have a community event permit, then you can have alcohol in the right-of-way. So rewriting it in code to make the distinction that you have to have a community event permit, alcohol allowed, gives the city, retains authority to the city and does not turn it over to OLCC. That was his concern. So now that we have the two types of community events, alcohol prohibited or alcohol allowed.
Well, And I know Commissioner Fritz has been working diligently on these issues in the community. Commissioner Fritz, just for the benefit of someone who's not as directly involved, does this revised ordinance address the concerns that you had in our hearing?
For the most part, yes, and I certainly appreciate Jerry Jenkins and Kristen Leone working on this with staff in my office and in ONI. I do have a couple of questions, and that is, how will you intend to notify the neighborhood associations and help them understand about this process?
You mean during the application process, or?
So let them know that we've changed the process. I'm wondering if you had any thoughts about that, or if you'd like us to work with ONI.
I'd actually like to work with ONI. I'd like to work directly with ONI and the district coalition offices to then notify the individual neighborhood associations. Is that, I mean?
I think the intent of the language is that you're going to notify the neighborhood associations rather than the coalitions, but we'll need to make sure that we're clear on that. But it's a change, so we need to figure out a way to make sure that both the neighborhood associations and the district coalitions know that what they need to do then is object to the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, who has the power to say no to the request.
Yes. And I want to make sure I understand the question is during the application process or because each application we get, the applicant always notifies the individual neighborhood association. We notify, or will with this change, the district coalition office, so that there'll be both notifications that will take place. Because sometimes, depending on the individual neighborhood association, some of them are more responsive than others. So we're getting it from both angles.
That's a helpful clarification. And then that you'll work with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement to let everybody know that this new process is
yes,
in place.
Yes.
My second question is about the new administrative rules that will be developed. What's going to be the process for the administrative rule adoption?
I was going to send it through once this, if this is a positive outcome, then I would send the administrative rule through the typical process.
I'm not sure.
Does not come back to council.
Right.
What is the
process in the Office of Transportation, in the Bureau of Transportation?
Right now, the process would be that I would send it over to the auditor's office. They would post it for a certain amount of time, and then it would be adopted. Does that answer your question? Or?
Yes, although it doesn't. In other bureaus, administrative rules have some kind of a public notification and comment process. Is that what it is with the auditor?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, and so I think the final clarification in answer to your question, Commissioner Fish, is that this doesn't mean that the applicant still has to get the permit from the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, but they also have to specify to us and to our satisfaction that we will give them the alcohol allowed part, which then allows them to move on to OLCC.
Thank you. And also business districts, too, if they're impacted.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else? All right, moves to a unless objection, moves to a second reading. Let's see. Can you please read the title and call the vote? Second reading, item number 460.
Vacate portions of Southwest Hillsdale Court and Southwest 43rd Avenue, south of Southwest Beaverton Hillsdale Highway. Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
I was on the Planning Commission when this first started back then. That's been a long time, so this has been a very long process, and I greatly appreciate the above and beyond the call of duty that the transportation staff have done in reaching resolution, and also the neighboring property owners and the applicant. Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 460 is approved. Can you please read the title for first reading, non-emergency ordinance, item number 461.
Amend the business license law to make housekeeping changes to certain definitions and the presumption of doing business.
Our fantastic Terry
you.
Williams. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. Terry Williams, the License and Tax Division Manager for the Revenue Bureau. The ordinance before you today is a housekeeping ordinance with about four changes that clarify and codify how the Bureau has been interpreting the law all along. There are two changes to definitions. There's a clarification under a presumption of doing business. And then we're adding some additional guidance under apportionment that matches the 2008 changes that the Department of Revenue did to the Oregon revised statutes on business income. And so I'm happy to answer any questions if you have them about this ordinance.
Questions from council? Does anyone wish to testify on 461? Unless there are objections, it moves to second reading.
Thank you.
That gets us to adjournment. Yep. Thank you all. We're adjourned. This makes
like
a fine
it.
Gavel.
I like that better because you don't wave at us much.
Apologize about the length of time.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, but it was not what we had budgeted. So.
Right. I think
the key
is budget longer.
To stay within our budget.
Budget yeah. longer, and then you can yeah. go short, and people will think you're a hero.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was a great presentation.